From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
What should everyday investors make of what's going on with Wall Street and the three major averages hitting record highs?
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
The last time the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ Composite, and the S&P 500 all had record closing highs was last century. Yes, December 31st, 1999. Perhaps you've heard something about that recently. So what should you do if you're an everyday investor? Should you buy? Should you sell? Should you just do nothing? I'm John Wardock, and this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Joining us is Kevin Curran. He is a portfolio manager at Stifel's Washington Crossing Advisors Group. He joins us to offer some insights. So, Kevin, first of all, what do you make of the trifecta record?
Well, the three averages moving together is indicative of a market that has had, as you've pointed out, some fairly good momentum behind it. You've had an improvement overall in the last 6 months or so in the outlook for growth in the economy. Some private expectations, some private surveys are now looking for 3 to 4% growth in the third quarter, which is a tremendous improvement from where we were 6 months ago. So the market has gotten a little bit more of a lift to it, and I'm not surprised to see the market averages move along with that improved outlook.
At what point, though, do you get concerned that maybe we're moving too high?
Well, you always have to be careful of that. And of course, if you look at the valuations for the stock market, a very typical valuation would be to look at what the price is for the various indices and compare it to the underlying earnings. And what we see is that the S&P 500, which is a pretty good proxy for the stock market, is trading at about 16 or 17 times, actually, the next 12 months' earnings expectation. And to put that in perspective, the average multiple over the last 10 years was something closer to 14 or 15. So the stock market is reflecting the improved expectation for the economy and is expecting some improvement in earnings over the next 12 months, even though the current earnings season has been fairly lackluster.
Since hitting its lowest level back in February, the S&P 500 has gained about 20% since then. Is that too far, too fast?
Well, it really depends upon where you choose your starting point, because if you were to go back to about a year ago, you wouldn't see anything like a 20% improvement. In fact, it's fairly flat. And I think that you rightly pointed out early in this broadcast that if you go back 10 years or so, and especially if you inflation adjust these market averages to account for the changing value of the dollar, you have had very little change over the last 10 years or 15 years or so. So it really does matter where you choose your starting point. I think ultimately, just look at what the earnings power is expected to be, think about where the market is trading, and that's a pretty good gauge as to whether or not you're significantly overvalued or undervalued.
My colleagues at the Wall Street Journal did some great research, dug up some great things about what was the best performing stock back in 1999. In the S&P 500 on December 31st, and care to guess what it was?
Could we say AOL, maybe?
Sprint PCS Group.
Ah, okay.
So that harkens back to the old tech days, doesn't it? I'm getting memories right now, some good, some bad. And then the best performing stock in the S&P 500 as of August 11th, 2016, care to guess what it was?
I'll leave that to you.
Newmont Mining.
Okay, very good.
So I'm thinking gold bugs out there buying, you know, I don't know.
So what
should we make of this? I mean, you look at 1999, yes, tech stocks were hot. Eventually they did collapse and fade a bit. And now 2016, you know, Newmont Mining, traditionally associated with gold mining. Anything that we can read into this?
Oh, I think there's a great lesson there. If you think about the late 90s and all of the promise of the dot-com era and the changes that were going to come, the future doesn't always turn out the way that you expect it to. In fact, I mentioned AOL, and it was back in 1999 or early 2000, I forget which, when AOL acquired Time Warner, the largest media company at that time. And of course, as fortunes played out, those that didn't end. That was not necessarily the winner in the technology race. But what we do see is that technology did continue, and it certainly has transformed our society. So I think the lesson is not to extrapolate too much from what's happening today into tomorrow, but rather to take a step back and always be willing to question where you are in terms of how the world is changing and how the markets are changing, because they don't always play out the way we think they're going to play out.
Is it safe for everyday investors to get back into the stock market? Seemed like for years they were shying away because they felt burned.
Well, we've always recommended that investors take a long-term approach. They do basic things like diversification, basic things like looking at the quality of equities that they buy, and always look to rebalance a portfolio if it gets out of whack with whatever your long-term goals suggest that your asset allocation might be. So we're not advocating at all that investors jump in or out of the market at any given time. That said, if you do have cash and you have a long-term time horizon and you've now got a new allocation to make, I wouldn't hesitate allocating that money to equities, but I would have a realistic expectation about returns. I think maybe a 6 or 7% rate of return that we've seen in the past, maybe you think about a 5 or 6% rate of return. But you keep making those investments over time, build your savings, and have a long-term horizon, you'll do reasonably well.
Kevin Curran at Stifel's Washington Crossing Advisors Group. We'll ask him where things could be headed next in a moment.
Tired of squinting at your smartphone? Give your eyes a rest and let your ears take over. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Kevin Curran on the line. He is a portfolio manager. So, Kevin, as we speak, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, right around 18.5 or so. Do you think that the blue chips can hit 20,000 this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think, 1,000 points or so on the Dow over the next year is not an unreasonable expectation, given the fact that, that the data on the economy seems to be improving. We saw employment being improving in the last couple months. That's a positive sign, taking us away from a larger concern about a material slowdown or even a recession here in the United States. It looks like we're getting a little bit of momentum as we go into the second part of the year. So, 1,000 points on the Dow a year from now makes all the sense as long as the data continues to come in as it has, which has been fortunately to the upside.
And what could potentially trip up stocks between now and, say, December?
Well, there are a few things. If we were to have, for example, a real significant concern about investment. One of the weak spots in the economy has been corporate investment. We'd like to see that improve. If you had a real shock to confidence for some reason, and most of these shocks, unfortunately, are shocks simply because they're not predictable. So any number of things could cause a shock to the system that could affect overall expectations. If you had the Fed, for example, decide to move more aggressively on interest rates, maybe they start to perceive that they're behind the curve as the economy is getting better, maybe inflation is picking up and you start to have some concerns that we're pushing maximum capacity, the Fed might have to move more quickly to raise interest rates. That would throw a wet blanket on things. So there's a whole array of things that could be unforeseen that could crop up to create some friction. But apart from those things, our base case would be that the economy continues to expand and we see higher highs from here.
Kevin Curran, a portfolio manager at Stifel's Washington Crossing Advisors Group. Thanks, Kevin, for your time.
You're welcome.
Kevin Curran, just one of the many stock market mavens who joins us from time to time to talk about your portfolio, stocks, and investing. I'm John Wardock, and this has been Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.